Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
I need to turn my mic on again.
Exactly. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. We are live from the American Lung Association's official climb that's going on. It's the Fight for Air climb that has been going on actually for a couple of hours already this morning. People climbing each of the presidential towers here in downtown Chicago at 555 West Madison, which is Jefferson and Madison. And we're going to be broadcasting live. We're right in the lobby area. We're in a little glass enclosure. God, you might be able to hear a little bit in the background, just outside of our glass enclosure. That's where the runners are getting, where they get ready to go.
Climbers.
And do the climb, the climbers.
They're not running. They're climbing.
Some are running.
No,
some are. That's where, when they return from their climb, that's where they're doing that as well, and so they sort of congregate in this area. So we're just outside of all the action. Joining us here at Presidential Tower, not only Dave Schwann, always nice to have you when we're able to bust out of the studio.
Oh, this is fun. Yeah, this is great.
But also, as you've already heard, interrupting me while I'm speaking, Elton Jim Toronto is here. We love... anytime that Jim can join us on the air.
The first couple of times, my mic was off. It felt like old times again. But seriously, folks. No, in fact...
here we go.
Zingaroos.
No, in fact, this is great to be back here because back in the old days when I was at WGN, I was the team captain.
You are still at WGN.
On a regular basis, not once every time the moon sets. I was a captain, and I had a ball doing this. I did all four towers one year, but it's not easy. And I used to come.
You used to come
to your show.
We would do the show here in the past. You would come. I have honestly never seen a more sweaty human being. I've been accused of that by my personal trainer of being the sweatiest person that she's ever seen.
She's never met
but
me.
There's no possibility that anyone could have been sweatier than you are.
Well, I used to like coming in because I would come in right after the climb.
Yep.
And not only was I sweaty, but there was a waft of aroma.
Well, you would put cologne on.
Yeah, well, because if I didn't, and there's nothing worse than cologne and BO.
You're telling me.
And when I would come into that little showcase studio where you were just hermetically sealed, and I would come in, I could see your face.
Well, because you smelled like the cologne counter at Marshall Field.
Well, do you want me to smell like a nursing home?
I didn't really want you to smell one way or the other,
well,
but
I'm just saying.
I'm pretty sure I didn't want Paco Rabanne all over.
Hey, that's Mirage.
Are you wearing cologne now?
Yeah, just a hint. Why, is it a little too strong?
I can smell it.
Well, that's the idea.
Well, it's working then.
Okay.
It's working perfectly.
I saw you wink a few times. So I'm happy.
Well, it's nice to have you here.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate you. We had a great time back in November at Tree Time. And it's always fun to do radio with you. And
fun. We've got some fantastic guests here today. But I'm especially, today's a big day on the television front because it's the final Downton Abbey. Is that what you kids are
Downtown
calling it?
Downtown Abbey.
Isn't that
right?
What you Anglophiles call it?
Yeah. Downtown? Oh, now I can't believe.
Or as I was calling it, for the first season, Downtown Abbey.
Downtown, yeah. I can't believe that you being such a pop culture maven that you have let this thing just fly right over your head.
I remember when I was first starting at WGN, and I would always hear Roy Leonard go, "I don't watch much television." And I thought, well, that's odd. It's Roy Leonard. Why isn't he watching Friends and all the hot shows back
then?
Yeah.
Why isn't he watching?
But I completely understand why Roy didn't watch much television. It's because we have to watch so many movies, I think. So when you get home and you have some leisure time, watching Downton Abbey, or I never saw an episode of Mad Men. I never saw an episode. I've never seen House of Cards. I've never seen a lot of the shows.
So you don't feel out of touch then in terms of a pop culture?
I do a little bit.
When they make a reference to that?
But I also feel like, who has time?
So when you go home then, what do you do? How do you relax? So you don't turn the TV on?
I watch the news.
Okay.
I fall asleep.
So you just... Is it because, do you watch most of your movies at a theater, or do you watch them, do you get advanced DVDs and watch them at home as well?
A little of both.
Oh, okay, so you're not always out.
I'm not always out, but frequently am. But, Shawnee, what do we love to watch? Three Stooges.
Three Stooges, Andy Griffith, and Superman.
Yeah.
See, I was never, I think there's two camps.
And MASH.
There's an Andy.
I never get tired of MASH.
There's a Three Stooges.
You're a MASH person?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, I like MASH. Yeah.
Golden Girls?
I love the girls.
Of course you do.
But there's two camps. There's Three Stooges and Honeymooners, and I was in Honeymooners.
I love the Honeymooners.
Oh, Honeymooners are great. Yeah. Sure.
I've never got into the Stooges.
Love the Honeymooners. So that's why
I've been called a blabbermouth many times.
That's why.
You. Blabbermouth. Out.
Are a blabbermouth.
Well, the best was earlier.
A blabbermouth.
We were talking to Shawnee, and he went to Cocoa Beach, Florida.
Just came back with his dad. He went on a big Florida vacation.
And that's January, yeah.
And what's there? The astronaut's house?
The Kennedy Space Center.
Oh, that thing.
Right?
The astronaut's house.
And I remember.
But there was a very popular TV show set there.
And that's the first thing
that came to your mind.
The first thing he said, me and my dad at Cocoa Beach.
No, wait. This is what's happening. I'm Jim and Shawnee. Are sitting in here talking. I walk in. It's like, oh, hi. And they're talking, and this is what I hear. Yeah, that's where Major Nelson's house was.
Well, that's where he worked.
Cocoa Beach, they were talking about I Dream of Jeannie.
It's part of the tour, actually.
That's where Tony Nelson worked.
It's part of the tour.
And Dr. Bellows and the whole
gang. And on your left, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So when I saw that, I go, hey, I Dream of Jeannie, Tony Nelson.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
See, that's what I'm saying. You're missing so many references.
You're
the Dowager Dean, and you don't even know what that means.
I have no idea what that means, but I'm sure if you're saying it, it must be extremely
Well, tonight is a huge deal for all Downton fans.
Well, maybe I'll just watch tonight.
Does that make us obligated to watch it now? Because I'm with Dean. I've never seen an episode.
Wow, what's going on here?
People do things other than watch television.
But Sunday night at 8, what else are you doing?
I'm watching Columbo reruns.
I DVR's Columbo. And watch Downton. I love Columbo, too. Oh, my God.
I just don't know who has time. I don't have time.
Well, you have 17 jobs. Some of us have none.
Well, so, that's
the problem. There's an overemphasis on one side and a de-emphasis on the other.
Well, that's a very good point. So anyway, I know the vast majority of you have watched Downton Abbey. So Jim, can bring us up to speed on what we need to know if we're going to, watch tonight. Kind of give us an assessment of that. He is, very much up on the pop culture scene. So he'll be chiming in and joining us, talking to our guests. We have Tim Daly.
I am so excited about that.
We, remember from the TV show Wings. He's on The Good Wife right now. He was in Private Practice.
He was on The Sopranos?
I don't mean as a doctor. I mean he was on the TV show Private
he
Practice.
He played a degenerate gambler on The Sopranos?
He was on The Sopranos, yes.
Yeah.
And he is doing The Climb right now. So he is going to be joining us a little bit later on. Our pals from the Black Ensemble Theater, Jackie Taylor, bringing some of her actors and singers, and they're going to perform for us live this morning. Got a lot of good stuff planned for you between now and 12:45 is when we're off today. We'll take a break, and allegedly we will have Dave Ennett joining us with sports coming up next on WGN.
Don't you want to know?
Richards is live at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at the Presidential Towers in Chicago on 720 WGN.
WGN team is returning from their climb this morning. Captain of the team, WGN Sports Director Dave Ennett's here, everybody.
Yay!
Woo! Go Cats! You look sweaty.
I can honestly say this is as sweaty as I have ever been in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry,
easy,
but
Jim.
That's too much information.
You are beet red right now. Should we?
All four?
Do we need to get him an IV or something?
Yeah. Is he no, I'm,
You're cooling down right now.
I think I'm good.
Cooling down right now.
I think I'm fine.
Also, we've got the whole staff that's joining us, but Mark Carman, WGN Sports. You look like
he didn't even do anything.
He looked like he didn't even do anything.
Huh. Fresh as a daisy, Dean. I got to tell you, the only reason why I feel this good is Dave Ennett's speech to the entire team beforehand was
inspirational speech.
It was unbelievable. He got us all around. I don't know how long he's been practicing. He said he hasn't. It just came off the top of his head, but it was unbelievable. We charged through these hours.
Yeah. It was right out of Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. All those years of doing Northwestern sports, mm-hmm. he had to have picked something
went
up.
Went into my best coach fits.
That's exactly. And from the Steve Cochran Show in the morning, Kevin Powell is here.
Yes, Dave, our fearless leader, leading us through battle today. But the most difficult was the first tower, and then about the last 10 flights on the fourth tower, I thought my legs were going to fall off.
But how are you doing otherwise, though?
Otherwise, good.
Let me just say, Kevin kicked butt. I'm so proud of Kevin Powell for what he's done.
I was worried. I thought I was going to embarrass myself and be dead after one tower, but battled through.
And he's not alone. You see all
the whole crew.
The whole team is in here now,
here
and they
today.
Did a fantastic job.
Yeah. I just want to share a story that when I walked in this morning, several people were setting up the equipment, and some of the climbers, our team climbers, were getting ready, including one Mary Vandeveld and Bill Murdoch, one of our engineer, was getting ready. And this is what I hear. I walk in, I hear Mary say to Bill, "Do you want me to help you take your pants off?"
Oh,
Am I lying? Yeah.
Well, Mary is my
always helpful to get someone's pants on.
We're one big family over here.
Mary is my climbing partner. And so Mary and I kind of helped each other through.
Well, we have a great team, and nobody looks like they're about to have a heart attack. Everyone looks pretty
good. We're all good.
Good. So congratulations to everybody for that. We have to just mention our team. The T-shirts everyone wearing, Ennett to Win It for JC. Longtime beloved member of our WGN family, Jim Carrillo, who was our chief engineer, I don't know how many decades, but years and years and years, who's
40 years
going through a battle with cancer himself right now. Mm-hmm. And all of our thoughts, and that was, we're all doing the climb. When I say all, I mean you guys, of course, not me. all doing it for JC, who we send our love to this morning.
Yeah, we did a team photo. Hopefully that'll give Jim a smile.
There you go. So, as long as we have you, we have got two sports guys here this morning.
We have three, actually, if you count Kev.
Well, that's true. That's very true. We have three sports guys. I guess the thing that everyone's talking about this morning is that the possible return of Lovie Smith.
Yeah, really a stunning development, Dean. First of all, the firing of Bill Cubitt as Illinois' football coach just about a week before the start of spring practice. And talking to some people in Champaign, they didn't see this coming. Not now, certainly. When you have a new athletic director in his first day on the job, you don't expect him to move that quickly. Now, certainly, I think if this had happened at the end of next season after he gave him a year to evaluate him, then I don't think anybody would have been surprised. A new AD wants to put his stamp on the program. But to do it really in his first hours officially as Illinois' athletic director and to walk into Bill Cubitt's office environment like that, I think sent a message about what he intends to do with the program. Now, the other part of that is Lovie Smith, apparently the favorite now to become the next head coach at Illinois. So two really stunning pieces of news.
So what does this mean for Lovie Smith? I mean, is this a great move for Lovie Smith, going from being a professional coach now to a college coach? I don't know if that's... Well, is that demotion? It's certainly a prestigious position still.
I don't know if you can get demoted more than getting fired. So he's already been demoted pretty substantially. Now I don't think he needs to do it for the money. I don't know his financial situation, although he's made a lot of money as a head coach. But, I think to run a program, I think you've seen some guys who've been NFL coaches who have gone in the college ranks. Nick Saban certainly is a guy who coached in the NFL without great success, but he's done great in college. Lou Holtz, another guy.
Harbaugh.
Pete Carroll.
Jim Harbaugh.
Went the other way, actually. Jim Harbaugh. That's a great point, Jim. Yeah. So good point, Jim. Yeah.
That's why I'm here, Dean.
Good point, Jim. Thank you.
And if you're an Illini fan, I don't know how you don't love this hire. It's a big name. It's a program that has zero stability over the past what decade, really? So to get a name as big as Lovie Smith, I think you got to be happy with that if you're an Illini fan.
And for Lovie, I mean, you've been fired now twice in the NFL. You're not getting another head coaching right. job. So for him to land at Illinois, a place that I'm sure he's at least somewhat comfortable being, you know, the Chicago Bears head coach for however long it was, I think it's a huge win for him. And he can sort of, you know, maybe a little less pressure. If they get to 6-7 wins, I mean, everyone's happy, right? If Illinois is just in the middle of the Big Ten, I think he looks like a huge success.
Big win for the Bulls last night.
Big win for the Bulls, although it got a little dicey there at the end. They had a comfortable lead in the fourth quarter. And what's going on in here?
Getting to right, boss. By the Vice boss.
Our Vice President and General Manager.
Hall of Famer. Hello there, Marine.
Our Vice President and General
you,
Manager.
Get out of that microphone. Hello, GN. Let's give it up for Ennett to win it.
Jim DeCastro, everybody. Almost just pulling the shorts off Kevin Powell in front of everybody.
But no, oh, big... Hey, big win last night.
Talk about a tower.
Another Sunday morning.
They got Jimmy Butler back last night. They also got Taj Gibson back. He only missed a game. Niko Mirotić came back. And you know, so now they're getting healthier. They've got some time here to get back into playoff position. But again, they had trouble closing the game away.
And we had a little Derrick Rose situation as well. He took a charge, landed on his tailbone, so he was in and out of the lineup. But says he will play Monday night versus Milwaukee, just to throw that in there.
And one other sports story, I'm not sure if you guys touched on this. Peyton Manning expected to announce his retirement tomorrow, which has been sort of up in the air since the Super Bowl. But he's supposed to make the announcement in Denver tomorrow.
And Mike Ditka said he was coming back next year, along with other things he said this week. Yeah. But I'll leave the rest of that
thanks,
alone.
Thanks, Coach.
Mike Ditka making a little political endorsement over the weekend.
Yeah, well, he's not been shy about his politics in the past.
What a shock in for Donald Trump. I can hardly believe that.
We've got the Blackhawks this afternoon. Dean, big game at the United Center against the Detroit Red Wings. Their only visit to Chicago this year. And, of course, the Hawks beat him in Detroit the other night, so that's a 4 o'clock start this afternoon.
All right, you have to get out of here because you have
we have basketball,
a little basketball
last
today, right?
Last game of the regular season for Northwestern. Wildcats hosting Nebraska at Welsh Ryan Arena. So I'll be back at 12:45 with a pregame show if I can get showered up and cleaned off.
You should go right like this. Just come.
That's
right
a gym. I mean, I wouldn't be the first sweaty guy.
Not
there.
That he needs one.
Dave Ennett, Mark Carman, and Kevin Powell. Let's hear it for the whole WGN Ennett to Win It team. Everybody doing a great job this morning. Many of them wearing pants, as a matter of fact, this morning as well. We'll take a quick break, and then Schwani updates the news. 928 WGN.
We go upstate New York to Paul Smith's New York.
Is that the name of the place?
The name of the place. It's a hamlet,
Smith's,
actually,
New York?
In the town of Brighton. It's a little teeny tiny hamlet within the town of Brighton.
A hamlet.
We go to Paul Smith's New York for this reason.
Why is it called Paul Smith's New York?
Well, it's funny you should ask.
Oh, news breath.
There was a guy.
He just happens to have the answer.
And here is the
answer. In a mayonnaise jar that's been on Funkel Wagnall's porch.
May a yak.
There was a hotel. There was a hotel. Yeah, what did you say?
I don't know, something about my mother's
dinner
yak or something.
You know, Karnak used to always say that.
I know. This made sense, though. Anywho.
There was a gentleman named Paul Smith that started a hotel there in the 19th century. And one of the guests at the hotel was a man named Edward Livingston Trudeau, who was born in 1848 in New York City. He died in 1915. He became a doctor, but contracted tuberculosis in the 1870s, and he went to live in the Adirondacks and stayed at Paul Smith's hotel. Now, the reason we mention Edward Livingston Trudeau and Paul Smith's hotel is because Trudeau became very prominent in medical research.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but do you feel like we're doing the show in the middle of
is he talking?
I'm not even hearing a word.
I'm not hearing
any conversation going out of the corner.
I don't hear anything in the background at all. Do any of you?
Hey, you invited him in.
How do you tell him? It's like every boss at the station. How do I tell him to get the hell out of here?
He's standing right over
there.
Yeah,
he's holding court, so you better not say anything.
Oh, he tried to pants somebody before. I don't want to get too sassy with him.
At any rate.
Anyway, so what?
Dr. Trudeau.
The last thing I heard you say was somebody died of tuberculosis.
No, he didn't die. Oh. He was diagnosed with it and lived with it for the rest of his life.
Oh, that's
1904.
Good. Oh, that's
Edward,
not good. That's not a bit. Not what I meant. I'm glad he didn't die.
Stay
is what
focused,
I meant.
Dean.
He's so distracted. I got 100,
well, he did,
100
but it
people
wasn't
here. It's like happy hour at Bennigan's in here.
14 more days till.
Hey, I'd like to. Can I get some wings? Can I get an order of wings and a fried onion here, please?
Yeah, loaded skins.
Okay, so.
Trudeau was a founding member of the National Association for the Study and Prevention of Tuberculosis, now known as the American Lung Association.
Wow, look at you, Schwani.
You know, it took a long time to get there, but he finally got there.
Worth it.
You'll also be interested in this. His great-grandson is Gary Trudeau, who wrote the Doonesbury comic strip. So we're looking at Cloudy Skies 22 at Paul Smith's New York.
Wow, how about that?
Paul Smith's New York.
Now do you see why I say that this is my singular favorite part of the program?
Page two.
Aren't you glad you're here?
The rest of the show, honestly, the other 3 hours and 58 minutes, I'm barely paying attention, to tell you the truth.
Well, you had to bring in the American Lung Association with this event today. So
that's a good job, Schwani.
Thank you. Thank
good
you.
Good job. And just what? Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say our next news, I think, is in about 15 minutes, 10 o'clock.
That's right.
Or when news breaks.
We'll get the Bloody Marys coming out.
And at WGNradio.com. I'm Dave Schwann in the middle of a lot of noise on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk with the executive director of said American Lung Association here in Chicago, and learn what this whole climb is about. This is what I know. I saw our next guest, Kristen Young, accepting one of those giant checks.
Which is always fun.
Always.
You got to love a big giant check.
Giant $2 million check.
Whoa.
I saw being bantied about here earlier. We'll find out what that's about when we come back. It's 9:42. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN.
Back to the presidential towers in Chicago and the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb. Here's Dean on 720 WGN.
9:45 from the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at Presidential Towers. I don't know if I'm more impressed right now that we're on a 50,000-watt clear channel radio station or we're on Facebook Live.
Well, that's more important. Social media.
We're on where we were. We're there for the Facebook Live person left. Did we scare them that much?
I think the smell.
Or is it just? We're in a glass enclosure, and every WGN athlete, sweaty WGN athlete, has come into this room now. So now our room smells like a locker room.
Yeah,
studio.
And then they leave.
And then they leave out into the fresh air. So that's not right. But also, one of the athletes on our WGN team joining us is Justin Kaufman.
Hey.
Who I was listening the other night.
Right.
And hearing you.
Complain?
Complain. You were like promoing.
That I wasn't going to do well.
That you were not going to do well. And then you just walk in here a second ago and said you did all four
towers. I did. I want to thank Stephanie and Jimmy and everybody who pushed us to do this. And I also want to thank the towers because they don't make it easy for you to quit.
There is a walk of shame.
There is a walk of shame.
Once you're in there, but then you're humiliated for life.
Yeah, there's like they don't even advertise it. There's like if you go that way, you're pretty much going to somebody's house or somebody's condo.
Right. Yeah,
right. Or you go and keep going, and then they trick you. They're like, oh, keep going, and then there's the stairs, and you're on tower three.
I got to say, for somebody who it sounded like you hadn't really trained, really prepared.
Which I did prepare.
Exactly the way
I
would
up and down
approach
the tower.
It. You don't really look winded. You don't. Dave Bennett looked like he was about to drop.
Well, he's got 20 years on him too.
Yeah, and you know what? Looks are deceiving, Dean.
That's nice.
Looks are deceiving. I'm very winded. I don't know if I'm going to make it home.
Did you use music or anything?
I did, and I had a problem. I had a funny thing where I didn't prepare like a mix or anything for this. So I just put shuffle on my phone,
right?
And every third song would be like either the U2 album that you couldn't, that just downloaded for you, or something that was not appropriate for climbing stairs. So I'd have to stop and be like, "Excuse me, go ahead, go in front of me."
Oh, so
I gotta randomly skip
so
from song to song so I can find the
like
same
you were
Drake
adjusting
song.
Your music during that.
Not very smart on my end. I wasn't thinking there was music ahead.
Good strategy if I ever did that. So you're feeling good?
I do not feel good.
Ready to go.
You will take a nap. You will take
a
very good
nap. Yes.
You definitely will.
I do not feel good, but I feel, at least I don't feel humiliated, right?
Yeah. Well,
I thought I'd get about halfway up and be like, I need a chair. I need a helicopter or something.
Seriously, after I heard you, I thought for sure we were going to see you go by in a stretcher.
So I made it, man.
Glad to see you're vertical and glad to see you're doing well.
Thank you.
You can hear Justin back Monday night, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. In the meantime, joining us now is Christine Young, who is the executive director of the American Lung Association. You just look like a proud mom of all of these children that are coming in and out of here now.
2,000 of my closest friends and family.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's
amazing that, I mean, the participation. We've done this broadcast many times. Markedly more people participating this year than in years past.
Right, and a lot of that has to do with you guys at WGN and really helping to promote it. People like Dave Ennett, Patty Vasquez getting on board and really promoting the event and getting the word out there. It's a great opportunity for families to do it. And I think depending on whether you're doing it for a competitive nature, there's that, or you can take your time, like he was just saying, not a race whatsoever.
Yeah, so how much money is raised by what goes on here?
So our goal and what I believe we are going to hit, we are very, very close, is $500,000, half a million dollars.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. That's the most you would ever
raise,
isn't
it? Yeah, that's the most we've raised by far.
And as I'd mentioned before, I saw a huge check presentation being done earlier from your presenting sponsor. Mm-hmm. That's separate from the money that's taken in from the climbers. But it was one of those gigantic checks for $2 million.
Wasn't that kind of fun?
I had a few million left over, Dean. I thought I'd just cut them
on. That's nice of you, Jim. That's nice of you in your leisure time that you've got right now that you'll be able to participate in that. You're presenting a sponsor, though.
Yes. So United Healthcare is our presenting sponsor of the climb. Their kind of other arm is their foundation. The United Health Foundation has given us a $2 million grant to put forth asthma education opportunity for kids across Chicago and all of the upper Midwest states.
Talk a little bit about where this money goes and what it is that the American Lung Association does.
So the American Lung Association prevents and cures all forms of lung disease. So everything from COPD, asthma, lung cancer. We are the first and foremost to provide education, advocacy, really get programs together to help people live better with lung disease, not just how do we find a cure, although that's a big part of it, but how do we make their lives that much better that are living with it? How do we improve the lifespan of somebody diagnosed with lung cancer and really make their lives as good as we can?
I don't know if it's, you know, just something that's a little more in my consciousness now of hearing people who are affected with different types of lung diseases.
Right.
And sadly, lung cancers that friends have, you know, recently been diagnosed with, dealing with, suffering with. I mean, is it more prevalent, or is it just something that we're, you know, just hearing about more than we used to?
I think the stigma is slowly but surely going away. It's not just a smoker's disease anymore. And one in four women are diagnosed with lung cancer in their lifetimes. That's a crazy number, and I don't think it's shared enough with people that it's something to be looking for. If you've smoked a pack a day and you're over 55, there is a test that you can get done and ask your doctor about to make sure, you know, am I at risk for this? How do we kind of make this more part of the conversation? But you're not wrong. I think it's being talked about that much more, which is a good thing. There's kind of that stigma not associated with as much anymore, but it is becoming something that's not necessarily just a smoker's disease.
So. Yeah, I was a smoker 30 years ago. Wow. I stopped. And my doctor is constantly reminding me that I am still at risk after all these years.
I know.
30 years that I've quit. I mean, I feel 1,000 times better.
Yeah,
since
congratulations,
quitting smoking.
By the way.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks. Because I still feel like it's a day-to-day battle with me. This nicotine addiction
is... You still feel like having a cigarette?
I still occasionally get a little craving for...
Wow.
Grab a little smoke. I do. I seriously do. That's how strong that addiction is. But my point being that even after quitting after all these years, my doctor is still concerned that I am a former smoker.
Mm-hmm.
That's how...
Well, even secondary smoke.
Right.
I mean, no one's immune.
And we're fortunate to be in Chicago, where some of the strongest tobacco laws here in Chicago, where you can't smoke a cigarette, an e-cigarette, anything like that in public. And I think that we hope to see that replicate all across the country.
What are the other types of lung concerns that the American Lung Association faces? Asthma, you mentioned, was one of them.
Asthma for both adults and children is something. We work a lot with schools in the Chicagoland area because it really is something that, you know, we don't want a kid to feel ashamed of taking an inhaler in class. And we want to make it a little bit more of the conversation. And certainly there's a large part of the United Healthcare piece is focusing on low-income children that just don't have the tools and access to really get what they need to be as healthy as they can be. So That's a big part of it. COPD, more people die of COPD than any other form of lung disease. And it's one of those that doesn't necessarily have a specific set of symptoms. It can look like a lot of things in a lot of different people. So certainly something to be aware of. And we have a lot of, we have a Better Breathers Club, we call it, which is kind of just a community opportunity for people to get together and kind of share what's worked for them, medications they've tried, exercises they've tried, how can they make it as worthwhile of life as they can.
With the money that's taken in today, a huge percentage actually goes to services, which is not something that you see right. with a lot of the charitable organizations. Much of the money goes to administrative and what I think is wasteful spending.
I'm so glad you said that.
But I think it's extremely, extremely efficient with the American Lung Association.
Thank you for saying that. We are so proud of the fact that 89 cents of every dollar we raise goes back to our mission, our programs, our research, finding a cure. It's something that we try and improve on every year, and we've been fortunate to do so. And isn't necessarily the industry standard, but that is a big piece of the puzzle, is how can we get as many dollars back to the community as possible.
Do you still have the bike trek?
Yes, we do, June 10th through 12th.
Because I did that one year, too, where they go into start like around McHenry and go into Lake Geneva, right?
Yep, start at McHenry County College. It's 50 miles a day for 2 or 3 days, and you ride up to Lake Geneva, and you stay at the Abbey Resort, so a little fancy, and you fundraise for us, and we provide meals and lodging for the weekend, and it's kind of a nice getaway.
It was very nice. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Jim is not climbing this year because he had a foot injury, but you can pretty much ride a bike even if you've had a foot injury.
Yeah, we had.
Yeah, you can ride a bike. Thanks a lot, Dean. yes, you can, Dean. No, I mean, I was the captain of this team a few years ago and did it, and then you guys invited me out to do that, and that was a fun time. A lot of people from the team did that as well, and it's just a beautiful ride, too.
Right. You're in kind of the hills of Wisconsin, northern Illinois. We had a guy last year who rode a tandem bike with his wife the whole time.
Oh, nice.
A guy who rode a trike, so you can kind of make it whatever you want
to
be.
We should do that.
Oh, Dean, how fun would that be?
How fun would that be?
And you'd look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
How do we get Schwanee involved in this? Do they have tandem bikes for three?
They could.
They do. I've seen them.
Yeah.
We can get like our parasols.
It would be
straw hats.
Like Mo, Larry, and Curly.
I was just going to say, who's going to be Mo, Larry, and Curly in this respect?
Yeah, that would be fun.
Floyd Gomer.
That would be fun.
You have... That it would be.
You're cordially invited to attend this year, you guys.
Careful what you wish for. careful what you invite. Lots of different events going on, not just today, but all year long. And if people want to get more information, what's the best way to do that?
So to find more information about the climb and other climbs, not just in Chicago, but across the country, fightforairclimb.org. If you want to join the bike trek this year, fightforairride.org. And any information about lung disease or programs in your community, lung.org. Keep it nice and simple for you.
What can people, if people want to improve their lung health this morning, do something now, what do they do? Obviously, if you're smoking, don't smoke. That makes perfect sense. But what other things can people do to improve their lung health?
It sounds so silly and simple, but exercise. Use your lungs. That's the first thing you could do. We talk a lot about this, and it's called the fight for air climb, right? But really, we give people the opportunity. By the top of the tower, you are fighting for air. So it kind of gives people the perspective of somebody that has 30% of their lung capacity with COPD, and you just kind of know that feeling. If that was you every day, you know, it's not a fun life. So as much exercise as you can do, the better. Use your lungs. They're there for you. You want to be good to them.
Appreciate you joining us. Thank you for putting on this amazing event. And if people would still like to donate, still like to participate, learn more, sponsor Jim when he goes on that bike ride with two other people that won't
with
be me
Dean
or Schwanee.
And Schwanee.
The website again is?
Fightforairclimb.org or lung.org for any lung information.
And I think the WGN team raised at least over $3,000 itself.
Did a very amazing job with the WGN team. We're very proud of them. Kristen Young, Executive Director, American Lung Association. Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks so much.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for being here.
We'll update news coming up next, 957 WGN.
It's Dean Richards Sunday morning, live from the Presidential Towers in Chicago. It's the Fight for Air Climb, benefiting the American Lung Association on 720 WGN.
Yes, and we're here just about till 1 o'clock, about 12:45, when Northwestern pregame will begin. We're here. Dave Schwann is here with us live at Presidential Towers. Jim Toronto, Elton Jim Toronto, is also here with us this morning, joining us in a couple of minutes. You remember him from the TV show Wings. You remember him from Private Practice, from currently on Madam Secretary. He was on Sopranos. Actor Tim Daly will be joining us in a couple of minutes. So we've got some great stuff still to come. A live performance from the Black Ensemble Theater, live here at Presidential Towers this morning. Wells Kaufman, the president and CEO of Ravinia, is going to come by. They revealed the 2016 schedule this week.
Great schedule this year.
It is a good schedule. We'll talk.
I'm going to just pitch a tent. I'm just going to take a tent and go on the lawn and stay there all summer.
Oh.
That lawn's big enough, nobody would find you.
Oh, that's what you meant.
See, your
I thought you were
today.
Really...
Well, I did get excited when I saw the schedule.
You said it was a great schedule. I didn't... Whatever.
Wow, Dina.
You know what? I wanted to mention that we're giving away opportunities to join me at the Paramount Theater in Aurora for our next Dean's Night Out. It's going to be at the Paramount Theater to see West Side Story on Sunday, March 20th. You could win a pair of tickets if you go to WGNradio.com/contest, enter for your opportunity to join me for the private reception that we have before the show. We have a little cocktail party beforehand, cocktails and hors d'oeuvres.
Nice.
Before we enjoy the show. So hopefully you can win. Go to WGNradio.com/contest so you can get your name on all of that.
You're a man of the people, Dean.
I like to drink with people. I like to eat
and,
hors d'oeuvres and drink.
Hors d'oeuvre with people.
And hors d'oeuvre with hors d'oeuvres with people.
Hors d'oeuvres.
As Shawnee was saying a couple of minutes ago, we've got some pretty nice weather coming up in the next couple of days. Meteorologist Mike Hammernick joins us from the WGN Weather Center. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Dean. How you doing?
Doing really well, enjoying, although chilly outside, enjoying this beautiful sunshine that's out there today.
Yeah, it's fantastic. The clouds have cleared out from yesterday, a gloomy day on Saturday, but today is looking much brighter, and everything's looking up temperature-wise for the next 3 to 4 days. Big warm-up is on the way. We hit 39 yesterday, shooting for 50 or 51 today, 60 tomorrow, and if everything falls into place, we could get close to 70 degrees on Tuesday.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
70 degrees?
If everything falls into place, we see a little bit of sun and the rain holds off. It's not a guarantee or anything, but we could be close to 70 on Tuesday, which would be well ahead of schedule. The first 70 we average is on March 25th here in Chicago. So it'll be a couple weeks early, but I don't think anybody is going to complain too much if that does happen.
So all of this that we're going to get this week, does this mean, you know, that we're pretty much into the springtime pattern now, or could we fall back? Could we get another, you know, little dusting of snow or something?
Yeah, well, I think we'll definitely fall back at some point, but for the next 7 to 10 days, we are looking very spring-like. I think we're definitely turning the corner, and today's kind of that day. We're turning the corner. We had a very winter-like week last week, 3 or 4 snows here in Chicago. This week, for the next 7 to 10 days, no snow in the forecast. The next sign of any snow here in Chicago would be later in March, around the 20th or 25th. We could cool down and again enough for snow, but that's about it. We're looking at a very mild trend. The warmest day is going to be Tuesday this upcoming week, but along with that, there's going to be some rain, not snow. Maybe 1 to 2 hours of rain on Monday, not an all-day rain tomorrow at all, and maybe 3 to 5 hours on Tuesday. So if you pick your spots, you'll get out, you'll be able to get out and enjoy this warm weather. And kind of a different year, too, with the lack of ice. The polar plunge, of course, is today, along with your climbing the skyscrapers there, Dean. And it's kind of strange. We have little or no ice for the polar plunge this year here in southern Lake Michigan. 90% coverage 2 years ago, 80% coverage a year ago, and nearly zero in southern Lake Michigan this year.
It's a great cause for Special Olympics, the polar plunge. But
have you ever done that?
I got to say that it's much more enjoyable when you see a Jimmy Fallon out there freezing in the ice, or a Vince Vaughn, or Lady Gaga couple of years ago. Right, the mayor was there a couple of years ago. When it's this warm out, it's just write a check.
It's like taking a dip.
Yeah.
I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, nobody needs to see that. Just write a big check.
Well, I saw our own Dina Bear was out there taking the polar plunge today. So she's
very nice.
So Marcus is there with you, and Dina's out of the lake. So, yeah, great causes, and a much easier year this year to take that plunge than in past years.
All right, well, it sounds like we've got a great week coming up. We'll stay tuned for any updates along the way. Mike Hamernick is our WGN Weather Center, and always good to talk to you.
All right, Dean, thank you very much.
It's 10:18 when we come back. Actor Tim Daly joining us next on WGN.
Richards is live at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at the Presidential Towers in Chicago on 720 WGN.
Where it is 10:22. Nice to have you with us. The special broadcast that we do every year from the American Lung Association's Climb this year. And joining us now for the broadcast, who is getting ready to go and do the climb, actor Tim Daly, who you remember from the TV show Wings. You know from Private Practice, currently Madam Secretary, Sopranos, the list goes on and on. It's great to have you here with us. Good morning.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Are you excited about getting ready? Have you ever done anything like this, a four-tower climb before?
I have never done anything like this, and I am kind of excited, although I'm a little worried about my competitive spirit. And then I'll charge out there and then collapse on the landing, and they'll have to just cut me out of there.
That's how I would do it. That's how I would do. I would, you know, go in like I'm charging like a bull, and I would purposely fall, though, just so I wouldn't have to do the rest.
I'm trying to be very zen. I'm hoping that, you know, slow and steady.
I wondered why he looked so good. It's because he hasn't climbed yet.
That's right, yeah. See me at the end. I'm a sweaty puddle.
Yeah, so far every single person we've had on the show has been a sweaty mess so far.
Yeah, so you look great.
You are the cleanest guest that we've had on the show.
Well, of course, your audience would have no way of knowing that because it is radio.
But it is smell-o-vision. You don't know that.
That's right.
It actually is. I've been in the lobby where people finish, and there's quite a bit of smell-o-vision going on over there.
Very, very aromatic building today. Yeah. What brings you into this? What's your interest in lung health?
Well, I've become a spokesman for the American Lung Association in association with Pfizer to raise awareness about pneumococcal pneumonia, and which is a disease that my mom had. And like so many people who I've met since starting this, she thought she had a cold and wound up in the hospital for almost 10 days and, you know, was very, very sick. And, you know, when you get to be over 50 like I am, your immune system naturally slows down a little bit, and there's things you can do, you know, to help protect yourself from a disease like pneumococcal pneumonia and other lung diseases, and mainly that is to see your doctor and ask if you're up to date on your inoculations and, you know, see what's going on. So people should just be aware so they don't think they have a cold and then wind up in the hospital or worse.
Yeah, we've been talking about that with the executive director of the American Lung Association and others, of how people don't know that something is wrong until it gets quite severe. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, something like a quarter of a million people wind up in the hospital with pneumococcal pneumonia because they either haven't taken precautions or don't understand what's going on.
Is that fatal?
It can be, yes, it can be. You know, it's a serious lung disease, and the American Lung Association has, you know, designated it as one of the things that they want to target and raise awareness about so that people can avoid going through what my mom went through.
When you walked in, Jim commented to you that you don't age. You do look fantastic.
He's like Dorian Gray. It's unbelievable.
Well, you guys are very sweet.
I mean, seriously, when you walked in, you looked just like you did on Wings
I was expecting Stephen Weber to walk in right behind him.
I don't know.
Okay, that I would have run the stairs faster than anyone ever has if Stephen Weber walked in behind me. That would have motivated me. I would have done it in like 3 minutes.
I hope spoken like a brother, that kind of thing.
No, I love Weber. It was his birthday the other day, and we talk all the time.
Yeah, you know, you've just continued to be part of one incredibly popular thing after another. Currently, you must be having a blast now with Madam Secretary.
It's great. I'm having a great time, and, you know, I'm back in New York where I'm from, which is wonderful for me. And, you know, we have a great group, a great cast, and I'm just loving it. But, yeah, I've been very fortunate to, you know, have had more than my share of bites of the apple.
It was so cool when he was on Sopranos because you're so used to seeing him at that time in your career in more lighthearted kind of roles. And he played this degenerate gambler.
Yeah.
And you played it so well. It was like, Wow, now that's a cool side that we never saw.
Oh, you just liked it because I got shot in the head.
Well, of course.
Come on, tell the
truth. That's a badge of honor on Sopranos. It's no fun to live through the show.
I wonder if you sort of liked it because you got shot in the head, that it was so different from everything that we knew you as before.
Well, I thoroughly expect to someday be on, you know, a loop of everyone who was murdered on Sopranos. And there I'll be.
Like Joey Pants and all the rest of them.
Well, Joey Pants is funny because, you know, I worked with Joey. He's a friend of mine. And Joey is famous for not wanting to be killed, like on The Fugitive. Remember The Fugitive?
Yeah.
Where he's hit in the head with a girder? So originally he was supposed to die, and he convinced them to let him do a scene where he sort of woke up in the end because he wanted to be in the sequel. And lo and behold, he was in the sequel.
Yeah.
So the producers of The Sopranos knew that. So I hate to, don't mean to be morbid, but they literally cut off his head and removed it from his body. That argument, he couldn't have that argument. But yeah, maybe they reattached my head, and then no, Joey, you're done. Not coming back on the show.
What kinds of things do you look for when you're looking at new roles and new projects?
I think I look for things that are somewhat unique and also, things that seem like human stories that are interesting. What interested me most about Madam Secretary was really the marriage, because probably, unfortunately, there are pretty much no good marriages on television except for Madam Secretary. And these people have a lot of problems, but it's a functional marriage, and despite their significant challenges, they're sort of in it, you know, and I like that about the show. I thought their relationship with their children was realistic. And then, of course, there's the political intrigue, which is fun and a total fantasy. I want to remind everybody, all your listeners of that, you know, geopolitical crises are not solved in 42 minutes like they are in Madam Secretary. So don't hope for that from your politicians.
Somebody should tell all the debate participants lately that world problems are not going to be solved in 58 minutes.
Right.
You were on Stephen Colbert last week, right?
I was.
What's that like? That's got to be – it's a trip to watch the show. I've seen not this show but his previous, the Colbert Report, live, and it's amazing to watch him in action live.
A lot of energy.
I will say that he is the best interviewer I've ever worked with because he's really smart. He's really generous, and he takes good care of you. So I had a great time. That said, I'm such a fan of his that – it's a full-on blackout. If you ask me what I talk about, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Because you were just geeked to be on the show?
I was geeked, and it's also, it's nerve-wracking, you know, doing an interview with someone that you admire on a show that's so popular like that. So your lips move and you hear sound coming out, but you have no idea what you're saying. Someday I'll watch the videotape, and then I'll...
And his dad is in one of the all-time great episodes of Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
The Train to Willoughby?
Stop at Willoughby.
Stop at Willoughby, right. Yeah. And that was they just did a major marathon on FX or Sci-Fi over one of the holidays, and that one was on. I saw your dad. He was great.
Okay, so how weird is this? About 30 years ago, I was on this theater tour, and I was in Syria, of all places, in Damascus, and I turn on the TV, and there's my dad in the Twilight Zone.
Right, and you were in the Twilight Zone.
I'm like, okay, I am in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly right. We also want to introduce Dr. Kovitz, who is with us, who is part of the Air Climb Who Knew campaign. Doctor, welcome. Nice to have you with us. Explain what this challenge is that you're a part of.
Well, representing the American Lung Association, and I'm also at the University of Illinois, it's very important that we focus on diseases we can either prevent or minimize the impact of. And pneumonia, especially pneumococcal pneumonia, has a severe and significant impact on society, especially in those who are older and with chronic diseases. And with the availability of vaccination in general for pneumonia, for influenza, it's very important for people to, either with chronic diseases or as they get older, to talk to their doctors about the role of vaccination for them.
And so an event like this then becomes really important for projects like what you're working on, right?
Absolutely. It gets the word out, gets people involved, gets a lot of information to the public. People underplay the role of lung disease in our society, and seeing all these volunteers, all these climbers, all these people from industry getting involved and advocating for lung health is a wonderful thing.
People want to learn more about your projects. What's the best way to do that?
Go to the Lung Association, lung.org.
Okay.
You can find many of the resources and a lot of information on this.
All right. If I could also just say that if you go to whonew.org, you can find out specific information about your risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
Perfect. Dr. Kovitz, Tim Daly, guys, thank you so much for stopping by. Tim, we hope that when you leave here, you'll go, I was so geeked to be on WGN Radio, I don't even remember what I just said.
On what?
Perfect. Thanks for at least humoring me. I appreciate it.
Good luck on the climb.
Thanks.
And yeah, and good luck with that. Tim Daly, a quick break, and we will update the news coming up next on WGN.
A stairway to heaven.
Dean Richards is live at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at the Presidential Towers in Chicago on 720 WGN.
We're back live from the Presidential Towers, the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb. In addition to Dave Schwann being here with us live at the broadcast, Elton Jim Toronto is also here with us. In a minute, we'll get to our theater segment and our pal Jackie Taylor from the Black Ensemble Theater. But just following up on the breaking news story that Schwani reported from TMZ.com of the death, reported death of Nancy Reagan at the age of 94 years of age. Number one, interesting that it's TMZ.com that's reporting this big breaking news. And, you know, years ago you might have said, oh, it's TMZ, you know, sort of the way that you might talk about the National Enquirer. But it was TMZ that first reported the death of Michael Jackson and lots of big stories. Are we getting more information on that now, Schwani?
Just a little more confirmation on things. More looking for more details. Susan Berkus and Veronica Carter in the newsroom trying to get some more details as this comes out. As you mentioned, Dean, TMZ has been consistent in breaking stories like this. We've been on the air a couple of times when it's happened ourselves with TMZ. Nancy Reagan was 94. She married Ronald Reagan in 1952, second marriage for both of them. And there's a Chicago connection here because her father was Dr. Loyal Davis, a very prominent doctor in Chicago some years back. So Nancy Reagan has ties to Chicago. She was Nancy Davis, and she and Ronald Reagan were in a film together, and that's how they met.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the life of Nancy Reagan a little bit later on in the program, but I mean, you know, people will remember her as the fiercely loyal first lady to Ronald Reagan, who was greatly criticized at first because of her lavish tastes and spending in the White House. You know, her fierce loyalty to President Reagan when he developed Alzheimer's disease and passed away, and a fairly major turnaround in the issue of stem cell research, that she was one of the first people who I guess you might consider to be conservative who said, yes, stem cell research should be done after Ronald Reagan passed from Alzheimer's disease, and she saw the need for this to be done.
That it would be beneficial for something like Alzheimer's, diabetes, things like that, absolutely.
And, you know, the Say No to Drugs program, that was Nancy Reagan's. So we'll remember more of her as we get more information.
We'll have more information as the morning continues.
As it continues to go on. It's always a pleasure to see the smiling face of my next guest, my longtime friend, the great Jackie Taylor, the founder of the Black Ensemble Theater. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Dean.
Nice to have you here with us.
Always good to be with you.
And always great to be talking about the new shows that you're doing.
Yes.
At Black Ensemble Theater. It seems like the ones that are like going through the roof popular are these shows that feature lots of different performers in them. You've done shows that are specifically about Teddy Pendergrass, specifically about, you know, particular talent.
Right.
But you've had some of these other shows that cover lots of different
performers like the one that you have right now.
Yeah, well, you know, people like variety. It's the spice of life.
It's the spice of life, I hear. That's right. Exactly. Tell us about the show that is currently being featured.
Well, right now we have two productions going on because it's our 40th anniversary. So, you know, we're doing it big this year. And we have Doo-Wop Shebop and we have the sensational soulful 60s going on.
Explain what that is.
Well, the doo-wop is the 50s and the music from that era featuring the Platters, the Drifters, and the Chantels. And then, of course, the 60s is that great 60s era where we have Jerry Butler, The Temptations, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell. We even have some Frank Sinatra and some Sammy Davis Jr. in there.
That's and always just fantastic shows. Always so much fun when you see a show at the Black Ensemble Theater. How long has this been going on for you now?
40 years.
Oh, you just said that, didn't
you? Yeah, 40 years.
Yeah, if I was paying attention, I would have heard that.
It's radio, Dean.
That's right. I was looking down at my notes here. But I do remember you just said that.
Yeah.
Her name is Taylor.
More than 2 minutes ago. I believe I heard you say that 2 minutes ago. How did this all get started for you?
Actually, being an actress, my first film was Cooley High.
Right.
And that propelled me into a whole different kind of Hollywood arena on a contract with American International Pictures. And at the time, it was just black exploitation movies. Right. And I couldn't do it. I had to, I wanted to make a difference in terms of our community and what society was saying about African-American people and our contributions. So I decided that instead of doing this Hollywood thing, that I was coming back to Chicago and I would start a theater company with the mission to eradicate racism, because that was my experience every step of the way, and I wanted to do something about how we live as human beings and make a very important, I feel, statement.
Yeah, and I think you have more than been doing that for how many years now? No, just kidding. just kidding. No, you've just done phenomenal work. First in your small theater and now in New Digs, and things just keep getting bigger and bigger and better for you and for Black Ensemble Theater. And we're going to hear some of your performers.
That's right.
When we come back, who do we have here with us?
Well, we have Rashawn Thompson, who's been with the Black Ensemble since he was 13. We have Melanie McCullough, who's been with us forever. We have we have Theo Huff, who also is a longtime member. These people all started when they were teenagers, actually. And then we have David, who we call an old man because he's been with us over 25 years. David Simmons. Yes, thank you, David.
See, I'm not the only one that can have a little brain freeze here this morning. I knew I loved you for another reason. We're going to come back and hear them perform.
This is Chicago, you know that, right?
When we come back, this is it'll come to me in a second, WGN.
Dean Richards is live at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at the Presidential Towers in Chicago on 720 WGN.
It is 10:50 live from the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at Presidential Towers this morning at Jefferson and Madison downtown. We're here with my pal Jackie Taylor from the Black Ensemble Theater and new shows that are going on, the sensational soulful 60s and doo-wop shoe-bop. And what are we going to hear this morning, Jackie? Here we go.
How's this? David Simmons.
Your precious love means more to me than any love could ever be. For when I wanted you, I was so lonely and so blue. For that's what love will do. And darling, when I first realized that you were fooling me, and who wanting you, I'm so lonely, for that's One love will do.
Iceman's with us this morning. Man, oh, man.
Nice.
How difficult is it to sing at this hour of the day and, like, hit those highs and lows?
You never know.
It's pretty easy for him, it sounds like.
Did both there. Wow. What else do we have here?
Okay, we have, well, we got a little Marvin and Tammy for you from Rashawn Thompson and Melanie McCullough.
All right, step on up here for some good old soulful 60s memories this morning. Take it away, guys.
Every day there's something new.
Oh,
honey, to keep me in love with you.
Oh, honey.
And with every passing minute,
oh,
oh baby, so much joy wrapped up in it. Oh, heaven must have sent you from above. Oh, heaven must have sent your precious love. The love like yours is rare these days, 'cause you show me what happiness is in so many ways.
I look in the mirror and I'm glad to see laughter in the eyes where tears used to be. Oh,
what you've given me, I could never return. 'Cause there's so much, girl, I've yet to learn. Honey.
And I wanna show my appreciation. 'Cause when I found you, I found a new inspiration.
Oh, heaven must have sent you from above. Oh, heaven must have sent your precious love.
Ooh. All right. Can I get a witness?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
And we're going to end with a little Otis Redding.
Oh,
how's that?
I love that.
That's Theo Huff.
Theo, step up. You got some big shoes to fill here with everyone else working. Here we go. Otis Redding. Black Ensemble.
Oh, she may be weary. And young girls, they do get weary. Worrying that same old shabby dress. And why she's out there waiting, baby, try a little tenderness. That's all you gotta do, yeah. You see, it's not sentimental, no. She has her grief and care, yeah. And her sorrows, they are spoken so gentle, yeah. That makes it easier to bear, yeah. You won't regret it, no. 'Cause young girls, they don't forget it. Love and happiness, well. But it seems so easy. All you got to do is try a little tenderness. I said, all you got to, you got to squeeze her. Don't tease her, never leave her. You got to try to tenderness.
Wow, that. We're a little church up in this house
all
today.
Right, it's Sunday.
Testify.
All right.
Hey,
wow.
Testify. Sunday in the Black Ensemble is here.
That's on WGN. That's fantastic. Theo Huff with Try a Little Tenderness and Rashawn Thompson and Melanie McCullough, who did Marvin and Tammy with Heaven Must Have Sent Me. And
David Simmons.
With Jerry Butler.
Yes.
Thank you. You all sounded so great. Really appreciate it. And Jackie, thank you very much.
Always my pleasure. Always good to see you, Dean.
If folks want to come and see these shows, what's the best way to do all this?
Of course, the website, and of course, 773-769-4451, the box office.
And how many years they've been doing this, Dean?
I'm going to ask Jackie that question the next time I see her.
Okay.
BlackEnsembleTheater.org is where you can get all the info, celebrating their 40th anniversary season, and sounded better than ever. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Dean.
We appreciate that. The death of Nancy Reagan is the top story in the news. We'll get all the details when we come back in just a minute. It's 10:57 on WGN.
Many of you may be thinking, well, drugs don't concern me, but it does concern you. It concerns us all because of the way it tears at our lives and because it's aimed at destroying the brightness and life of the sons and daughters of the United States.
The news this morning of the death of former First Lady Nancy Reagan at age 94. When I think Nancy Reagan, I'll think of her cause, the way all first ladies have their cause. She made drug abuse hers and coined the phrase, really, that's still used today, say no to drugs, in her case. I'll remember her devotional gaze at Ronnie whenever he spoke, her undying dedication to him. As you will read the obituaries on Nancy Reagan, one of the things that you'll read about is how people who worked in the White House during the Reagan years, you know, sort of considered her the number one advisor, the general, that she
you
ran.
Had to go through her.
She ran the show.
Yes.
And protected Ronald Reagan against, you know, personal attacks and, you know, helped advise. We'll remember the stories of her consulting an astrologer. That was a big story in the early parts of the Reagan administration. Bringing an elegance to the White House, bringing, as one story in USA Today is describing it, of bringing old Hollywood to the White House.
Well, Frank Sinatra did. He actually was the guy who put together the inauguration.
The Reagan inauguration, because Nancy Reagan wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, he was old friends with the president,
right?
But Nancy Reagan wanted things to be a certain way, and that's the way that things were. Joining us on the phone line right now is Tom Mikaitis, professor of history at DePaul University. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Dean.
When we talk with you, usually, Tom, it's about acts of terror, but as a history professor,
mm-hmm.
I thought that you would be a perfect person to talk with this morning. And talk about the Nancy Reagan and her influence, her power, what her legacy will be on American politics.
Yeah, it's just an interesting, she's a rather complex character, as you said. On the one hand, she could urge the president to to have these summits with Gorbachev, and then she could kind of get into petty squabbles with Gorbachev's wife. She really was a force behind the throne, to use a cliche, and even getting him into politics. On the other hand, she'd consult an astrologer. It's interesting. First ladies can fall into kind of various types, and she sort of viewed herself in the Jackie Kennedy mold of putting a touch of elegance and fashion on both the office and the White House. That's how she did it. And yet, she did do a great deal to position him for both his runs for the California governorship and finally for president of the United States. And also, the speculation is, and no one knows for sure, that his failing health may have begun during the last years of his presidency, in which case she was even there a much greater role, similar to Woodrow Wilson's wife. Perhaps we don't know that. That's speculation.
What role do you think that Nancy played in the formation of his policy?
of you know, some of the policies now, as you know, as we watch the Republican debates.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
You hear all the candidates are falling over themselves trying to align themselves with you know, Ronald Reagan and the Reagan years and so forth. What role did Nancy Reagan have in what some perceive as the success of those years?
Yeah, that's a very hard question to answer. I suspect, you know, from all accounts, she was his confidant. So I don't know that she actually, you know, how much she weighed in terms of proposing things. But I think I get a very strong sense that he ran a lot of his most difficult decisions, you know, past her. And that, you know, as I said, you know, she appears to, you know, play some role in trying to get the rapprochement that you know, leads to the end of the Cold War. How much, you know, we don't know. Really, we have memoir accounts, and these are the some sorts of things that only become clear, you know, long after all the parties are gone. You know, she definitely was a formidable person, no question about that.
Talk a little bit about what you think she will be remembered foremost. Is it that she was, you know, the one that protected Ronald Reagan? Was it for things that she had done on her own? I mean, people, you know, during the presidency, you know, feminists said that, you know, yeah, she completely devoted her life to him.
Yeah.
But was there was more to it, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's another thing about her. I really think there are very few neutral opinions about Nancy Reagan. I think she was one of those individuals people either hated or loved, and I think that's going to be one of the things she's remembered for. You know, those who criticized her will point out that she was, you know, more concerned about the White House China than about the country of China. I don't know that that's entirely fair, but it's certainly that decision to buy that, even if it was done with private money, was kind of emblematic for her critics. On the other hand, you know, she did do significant work in campaigning, you know, against drug abuse. A very famous appearance with her giving a hug to Drew Barrymore, and who had struggled with that issue. You know, but there's no question that, you know, she very much, you know, positioned herself in the role of the traditional, lack of a term, corporate or political wife. That, you know, promoting him, positioning him, backing him, defending him, supporting him was how she really, you know, saw her role. And that of course, is what understandably drew a lot of criticism, you know, for people. I mean, she certainly wasn't a Betty Ford. She was not a, you know, not a Eleanor Roosevelt, and certainly not a Michelle Obama.
Yeah, and you know, not a Pat Nixon in the way, you know, where the wife, you know,
yeah,
was really just arm candy and, you know, stood,
yeah,
smiling,
no,
along the side. Well,
yeah,
she did that. I mean, one of the most lasting images in my mind that I'll have of Nancy Reagan is that devoted, loving, you know, would run in front of him to take a bullet kind of, you know,
yeah,
look and,
yeah,
and style. But
yeah,
different, though. I mean, you could tell that she had a mind of her own and she did what she thought best.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And it was also, you know, it was a love match, too, from all descriptions. You know, there aren't, and I don't profess to be an expert on this, but you don't hear the Jack Kennedy kind of stories, you know, about Ronald Reagan's behavior. Two of them seem to have been faithful and devoted, and, you know, that respect was very mutual. I think he relied on her in a lot of ways, to, you know, as his sounding board and his confidant and things of that nature, you know, and yet again, you know, as I said, she could be very feisty, you know, speaking out asking at the Kremlin whether they had church services at, I think it was the Uspensky Cathedral or whatever. You know, so she could at times, you know, as all first ladies, I mean, I think it's a very tough role. You know, people ask, well, you know, nobody elected you to anything, a criticism that was leveled at Hillary Clinton a lot. But on the other hand, these are, you know, the most successful presidents have had pretty strong, pretty effective first ladies.
Talk a little bit about Nancy Reagan after the death of President Reagan. She remained pretty silent. Really, the only exception was when she spoke out for stem cell research, which I think a lot of people in the Republican Party on the conservative side had wished that the wife of their idol, Ronald Reagan, had not stepped forward and spoke so.
But I think that's also, I mean, let's be fair, too, and I think this is one of the criticisms that could be leveled at that presidency. President Reagan also, after he left office, spoke out in favor of AIDS prevention and things like that, which he never touched when he was in office. So I think, you know, what you're seeing is that there is, you know, the public persona of a party politician and their private views. And I think, you know, what probably motivated that is, you know, and again, I'm not a scientist, but some speculation that you know, some evidence that stem cell research could address something like Alzheimer's. So understandably, you know, that's something that's going to motivate her, you know, to do that. But again, you know, she was also quite up in here. This was a significantly older president and first lady, you know, as I recall, the oldest we had in office, but I may be wrong on that. So, yeah, I think she, and again, much of those post-presidential years, she was taking care of them after he died. You know, she had her own struggle with breast cancer, you know. So I think she, and they lost, you know, they lost his daughter from his first marriage, you know, a lot of difficulty with their oldest daughter and so on. So I think she was quite content to retire to private life except for that one issue.
Tom Akaitis is a professor of history at DePaul University, and we appreciate you joining us with some of your thoughts and reflections on what certainly will be the top story of the day, the death of Nancy Reagan. Tom, thank you so much.
Sure, Dean. Have a nice day.
We appreciate it. Thank you. It's 11:18. Love to hear some of your thoughts and remembrances of Nancy Reagan. 312-981-7200. We'll open up the phone lines and get some of your memories of the former First Lady when we come back. 312-981-7200. It's Dean Richards Sunday Morning on WGN. Don't you want to go
Richards is live at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at the Presidential Towers in Chicago on 720 WGN.
I love this video, but I'm actually glad that they...
It did help to perk it up a bit.
It did. The because the topic of tonight's Chicago's Best is Chicago's Best Balls. So... I've heard every single host on WGN this week stumble over that. watch what you want. Yeah, it's tonight at 10 on WGN. So anyway, the sad story. I'm, you know, never happy to hear stories like this of somebody who was so devoted to her husband and to her family. You can only have respect for somebody like that.
And apparently, you know, we haven't heard the real. He was very close to death during that assassination attempt with Hinckley, much more than we ever were told. And they said that when that happened, she really then took the reins of his scheduling, and because she's like, you guys cannot keep this man safe. I mean, don't forget, he was only present for a couple of months.
That wasn't long, yeah.
Yeah, and so apparently, when that happened. Whether she knew it or not, whether that was her own type of view, I'm going to take control, I think she felt, into your point about her devotion to him, hey, look, man, this is my husband here, and you just let him get shot.
Yeah.
So I'm getting involved.
I think you know, that history will remember her as one of the more significant first ladies that we've had, influential first ladies that we've had. You know,
she was controversial.
Say what you want about the Reagan years. Certainly I have plenty of... disagreements and agreements with some of the things that happened during those years, but you can't look at that marriage and that relationship without 100% respect for the complete and love and devotion. When those two looked at each other, you could tell those were two people madly in love with each other.
I mean, he really did. He had that. Look, you know, the old joke was, will mommy?
Yeah.
But it was almost that kind of a relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he relied on her almost like a maternal figure.
Yeah, which I think that you have to respect. And I think even people that, you know, politically disagreed respected that as well. I recall President Obama being so loving and caring on the occasions where Nancy Reagan... was part of whatever state event was going on. that that even he, you know, he respected that tremendously. You had said that you met Nancy
yes.
Reagan when you worked with the Alzheimer's Association.
Yes, very
Association.
Briefly. In 2004, I worked in the public relations department with the Alzheimer's Association. My dad had developed dementia toward the end of his life, and so I wanted to get involved to really understand it, because at that time, you know, Reagan obviously brought Alzheimer's to the forefront of a national kind of exposure. But in an everyday lifestyle, we were still in kind of a dark ages in terms of what are the symptoms and what is dementia. And so I really wanted I wanted to get more of a handle on it just for my own understanding of it. And my mom eventually got it as well before she passed away. But so I worked for the Alzheimer's Association, which is based here in Chicago.
Yep.
And because Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan were so important to that cause, and they were the face of Alzheimer's disease for a good period of time, she was very, very dedicated to the fact and knew that when he died, this was going to be, you know, as sad as that is, this was going to be a very important time to bring attention to Alzheimer's, to the country and to the world. And there was a plan that was put in place, that was written up because he was, failing in health, that was sort of in a drawer, if you will. And when he passed away, you know, then...
You go to that plan,
and that's where the spokesmen were ready. But she was very supportive of the Alzheimer's Association. I got a chance to meet her very briefly at an event. I know the upper reaches of the Alzheimer's Association were in regular contact with her, in terms of support and running things past her. So this wasn't just arm candy or, you know, cause celeb. She was clearly, that dedication that she showed to him during his presidency was clearly transformed during his illness.
I think just that, you know, this person who went into virtual exclusion after President Reagan's death, that the only time that she came forward was to say something about Alzheimer's, to say something about stem cell research and the importance, and how she felt like had there been stem cell research, had there been work on this, that it might have saved her husband's lives or want to prevent other people having to go through what she went
through. Well, I'll tell you, if dementia or Alzheimer's does touch your life, that is your first reaction. You want something to be done, either for this, obviously for your loved one, but if your loved one passes away, you realize what you have gone through, and you don't want other people to have to go through that. And so I think that, once again, is a natural reaction. And she, as you said, didn't make Republicans very happy about that. Remember, George Bush was very anti-stem cell during that period.
Right.
But I think she didn't care about political lines here. She was talking about her husband and about people, and forget about party affiliations.
Yeah. Shwani, as the newsman and covering this, what are your memories?
Well, of course, remembering the way the Reagan administration progressed, you both have touched on the controversy that she had, bringing in an astrologer and so forth. There was some friction between one of the chiefs of staff, Donald Reagan, apparently, when he was appointed chief of staff. But all of that went along with the entire 8 years of his presidency. And you also bring up, Dean, the Just Say No campaign, Say No to Drugs. She went to various schools with that and certainly took an active role in that. So she was involved with things during her tenure as First Lady. The Alzheimer's advocacy came, of course, after he was diagnosed in 1994. And for the remaining 10 years of their time together, she was always by his side and always an advocate for stem cell research, as you say, and getting involved with the Alzheimer's Foundation, has its base right here in Chicago. So
I wonder what effect this being on the news today, what probably will be the top story on the news, the evening news tonight, what effect this will have on the presidential campaign.
And there's a Democratic debate, I believe, tonight.
I would be shocked if they didn't acknowledge Hillary Clinton, being a former First Lady number one, that they didn't acknowledge it. But I wonder if this becomes something on the Republican side to try to wrap themselves up even more now in Reaganism than they've already been doing.
And we've got, March 15th? So there's a good 10 or so days here to drape themselves in that before the, the big primary.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. We're going to talk more about the death of Nancy Reagan. Professor Paul Green will join us coming up in about a half an hour. We also are going to try to touch on some of the things that we had planned here this morning, including a visit from Wells Kaufman, the president and CEO of Ravinia. Their new schedule has just been released, and we'll get into that coming up after a check of WGN News. And that follows all of this on WGN.
Back to the Presidential Towers in Chicago and the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb. Up and away. Here's Dean on 720 WGN.
Live at Presidential Plaza for the American Association's Fight for Air Climb, our entire broadcast today, live today. So, Shwani, now Veronica's here doing the news. You're just like hanging now, right?
I'm just hanging. So you that's what I usually do.
You could really do the climb now if you wanted.
Yeah, I didn't bring the right shoes.
If you cared, you could do the climb right now.
All 10 steps and then come back down. I'll just be like Shemp, where he's told to jump rope and exercise. He does one. He says, okay, that's that.
Everything is a Three Stooge reference on this show.
Wow. And he referenced a Shemp.
That's
even worse.
Well, that's one of Dean's favorites.
A lot of people feel.
Are you a big Shemp?
I'm a curly man myself.
That's what I figured. Yeah, come on.
I'm a curly man.
A Shemp.
Other people are talking about the top news stories of the day.
Nancy
people
Reagan.
Tuning into WGN are hearing Shemp versus Curly talk here.
Please chime in.
Please chime in. 312-981. No, we're. I want to introduce my pal, Wells Kaufman, who's the president and CEO of Ravinia. At least once a year, Wells wakes up incredibly early to come on the WGN TV morning news to reveal the new Ravinia schedule, which he did again. Was it this past Tuesday? I think
Wednesday.
Wednesday morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And we heard about your incredible schedule, which we're going to talk about in a second. But just now, during the news, we were chatting. And you have a Nancy Reagan story, as we talk about the death of the former First Lady this morning. But you had some encounters and engagement with the Reagans as well.
That's correct. The president had been honored with the Winston Churchill Award, and there was a big concert and dinner at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. I was working for the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra at the time, and that's a fabulous chamber orchestra that specializes in Baroque and pre-classical music, but it's also made up of the best studio players in L.A. So Mrs. Reagan thought it would be great to have them there representing both classical music and Hollywood at the same time. So the orchestra came and played for about 15 minutes. The president and the first lady greeted every member of the orchestra, all 30 of them personally, told jokes, couldn't have been more down to earth and easy. It turned out to be a very glitzy sort of Bob Hope emceed kind of evening where the little scrappy L.A. Chamber Orchestra kind of lost the spotlight, but it was really incredibly great to be there.
Nobody has a chance in those ballroom
exactly.
settings. People are there to talk,
that's right.
to eat food, to
that's
schmooze.
Right. And you can imagine it was just star-studded celebrities.
Exactly.
You know?
So, I mean, it doesn't make a bit of difference what's going on entertainment-wise or speaker-wise at those kind of events, even though you've got arguably some of the greatest musicians in the world
absolutely
performing.
Right. That's right. One of the things that I'll never forget about it is, of course, there was very high security. And when you have violinists coming in with violin cases, of course, people want to look into the violin case, and they want to look into the violin itself. And these were security men and women who were doing their jobs. But our music director, who was going to play some of Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Iona Brown, had a $2 million Stradivarius violin. So she was hesitant to open it up and have everybody touch it. And Mrs. Reagan came by, and she said, "What's the problem here?" Because it was turning into a bit of a scuffle. And, you know, I was terrified, and I said, "Well, this is Dame Iona Brown." And she says, "She's a dame?" I said, "She is." And so Mrs. Reagan turned to the security people and said, "She's a dame. Let her in."
And then Sinatra said, "She sure is a dame."
Yeah, she is a dame. Exactly. Check out the gams on the
right. She was a dame long before she became a dame.
Well, that's it. I mean, this is a woman who knew Betty Grable and stuff like that. You know, so it's, you know your names. But
it gives you an idea, though, right, of the takeover
ness of Nancy Reagan.
Yes.
Getting in the middle of something like a that. Problem a security
solver.
Issue.
Absolutely right. And of course, issue. In addition to their love of the arts and you know all the other issues one could bring up about the complications of any presidency, right? They were also very, very involved with the Joffrey Ballet moving from New York to Los Angeles. And ultimately, of course, they're here in Chicago, which we're so happy about. So.
I think, you know, that's one of the things that's overlooked about Nancy Reagan. We talked earlier about how she brought sort of this elegance that we hadn't really seen in the White House since Jackie Kennedy. She brought that back, but really a love of the arts that she celebrated as well.
Absolutely. I think that we've been fortunate with presidents who've had varying degrees and first ladies, administrations of their connection to the arts. Everybody's been, you know, any connection we appreciate, right? But certainly the Obamas have been huge on this, in not only the classical arts as the Reagans were, but also in jazz and blues and R&B and all those other things. I think we're living through a very interesting time with a completely different couple.
Yeah, they have those shows on PBS all the time
all
where
the
they're
time.
Performing right
with
in
Aretha
the...
And
in the
Stevie Wonder
is that like the East Room or something?
And Yo-Yo Ma, exactly, all of those. And the Reagans did plenty of those as well.
Yeah,
so the Kennedys started that.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break and come back more with Welsh Kaufman from Ravinia. We'll talk about their brand new season. Dylan coming to Ravinia. Paul Simon coming to Ravinia.
Diana Ross.
Lots of amazing names. We'll run down the list, tell you how to get tickets, et cetera. All coming up next on WGN.
It's Dean Richards Sunday morning, live from the Presidential Towers in Chicago. It's the Fight for Air Climb, benefiting the American Lung Association on 720 WGN.
Live from the sweatiest building in Chicago this morning.
Smells like it.
Where thousands and thousands of people have done the climb of the four towers here at Presidential Towers. We're live for about another hour or so. Happy to have Welsh Kaufman here, the president and CEO of Ravinia, and another amazing season that you just announced earlier this week. For me, this year, Bob Dylan coming back to Ravinia for the first time since 1964.
Yes, amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing, but I'm excited about Dylan. It's fine. But Mavis Staples
with him. With him. This is going to be one of those evenings.
Call it a night.
Whom he
I'm
proposed
concerned.
To at one time.
That's, yep. Yeah. Yeah, yes. They were.
And she said they were going to start a band called the Staples and the Dylans, and she thinks that's what broke them up, is that his name didn't go first. You know, who knows?
I'm wondering if you just couldn't understand what he was saying. As so many of us have. I think he said, will
no
you marry me?
About.
I'm not really sure what
Apple
he said.
Strudel.
But talk about some of the other. I love hearing about the first timers because I'm amazed when we go down this list of people. Who have never appeared at Ravinia. I can't believe that some of them haven't appeared.
We think we're always there. And you know, we've had a list of those over the last 10, 12 years. James Taylor, Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Steely Dan.
Steely Dan, exactly. Not to mention the Stings and the Maroon 5s and the Wyclef Jeans. And, of course, Norah Jones had a couple of concerts with us that first summer after she took that pile of Grammys home. So we've been trying to make sure that the non-classical offerings at the park are at least inching toward the equivalence of the classical offerings, which, of course, this summer is really all about James Levine returning to us after 20-plus years, our longtime music director, to do Mahler's Second Symphony for our gala, which is exactly how he started with us, was Mahler's Second Symphony at a gala.
It's my favorite one.
We're just so excited about this. This and the...
Well, you like
you're
the
looking at me
you don't
like
the fourth one?
It's not my favorite one.
I like all nine of them, actually.
Oh, see, he wins.
I like 18B.
But they're actually 10, right?
Yes.
Because there's Das Lied von der Erde. See, that was the trivia
question. Dusty Springfield?
Yeah,
what did he say?
I was just going to say. Do you feel as stupid as I do right now?
Dean, can we talk about the Three Stooges again?
No, it's amazing.
The aromatics from the lobby might be.
That could be.
That's just Schwanny.
I'll tell you what. I mean, I love the pop shows that you do at Ravinia, but when you go there and you see a symphony, it gives you an entirely different appreciation.
Nothing like it.
If you're not, you know, familiar with
and I think a lot of people don't know that the place was built as an amusement park with rides and a baseball stadium and vaudeville and a calliope was the music, you know, and dining and two hotels and two train stops, not the one that we have right now, electric water fountains and things like that, all sorts of exciting things. So our background has always been a mixture of things, and the basic mix has always been about 50-50 classical to non-classical. This summer we're sort of 70% classical. We have a lot of recitals, the most extensive chamber and recital program them in the country, about 50 performances, and at really, really low prices, too, which is important to the Ravinia family, the board and the women's board and everybody else that makes the place work, our stewards, to keep the prices accessible,
it's
including
affordable.
For the CSO.
Affordable
yeah.
For,
yeah.
for people. To
and
come.
All the movies, you know, with right. the orchestra, too, to have Titanic being done. And Dean has always already promised us that he's going to get us James Cameron and Billy Zane and right. Kate Winslet and Leo DiCaprio yep. to come, yep. which is great. Thank you, Dean.
Yeah.
And The Planets, Gustav Holst's masterpiece with this great NASA footage. We're also doing The Wizard of Oz, which was actually that Judy Garland was tight with the Reagans through that whole Sinatra thing. You know?
Yeah.
And then an evening of Looney Tunes, of the Bugs Bunny cartoons, with all that great classical music infused.
I went to, I've been to Tivoli Gardens in Copenhagen.
Yeah, same thing.
And it's like, when I, first as I walked in, I said, this is Ravinia with an amusement park. I didn't know that Ravinia had amusement
yeah.
park.
So Tivoli was built just maybe 15 years before us, built by a train company, like we were, because the train station's right there. There were always rides, but they've always had the best concert hall in Copenhagen.
Because it's got a stage recently. And a rolling lawn, just like you.
New York Philharmonic would tour there. You know, you would be there, and you'd be in the dressing room with your music director, and the rides would go by the window. It was a little jarring, but yeah, fantastic place, and it's beautiful too.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
So, talk about some of the pop firsts who are coming to Ravinia.
So, you mentioned Paul Simon, which is one of those hard to believe kinds of things. And we were talking to some trustees the other day, and they were looking through the brochure, and they saw James Levine's picture, and they said, "Oh, Art Garfunkel's coming too. That's so great." So, I told Meister Levine that he didn't laugh quite as loudly as you did, but there was a little bit of mirth. Yeah. Diana Ross.
Yeah,
you know, a legendary artist. We have
Lyle Lovett.
Yeah, exactly. Lyle Lovett and Emmylou. Tony Bennett's 90th birthday. Buddy Guy's 80th birthday with Jeff Beck, who's not been with us forever and ever. This mariachi group, all-female mariachi group from New York called Mariachi Floor with Los Tigres del Norte is going to be a great evening. Bonnie Raitt, new album out. OAR, the Bodines, Seth MacFarlane, who was kind of a sleeper concert for us last year. If people aren't familiar with his singing and know him as the guy that did Ted and does Family Guy and all those kinds of things, that's a great part of him. And he does a little bit of comedy, but mostly he is a Sinatra homage guy.
Sinatra, Harry Connick-esque.
Absolutely, yeah. Is how he's going to have Catherine McPhee, the star of Scorpion, and she was in Smash, Drop Dead Gorgeous, great singer, and they're friends, so that's going to be a nice show.
Duran Duran
with Nile Rodgers and Chic.
Amazing.
And in this year where we've lost, you know, Bowie and Glenn Frey, we have Don Henley coming for two nights.
Yeah, two nights.
Obviously, that's going to be something that he's going to share with us even more of the Eagles tunes than he did his first time with us about 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
You have a David Bowie tribute night as
well. We do. And I think Nile Rodgers and Chic, since Nile Rodgers produced Let's Dance, I think there will be some of that in what they do on the two Duran Duran evenings as well. Chris Cornell, lead singer of Soundgarden, never been with us. Really thrilled about that.
I told you, I'm pitching a tent and staying there
Steve
all summer.
Steve Miller, yeah.
Are the residents of Highland Park ready for Patti LaBelle performing?
She's been there a lot, yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be
ready
amazing. Patti LaBelle with the Commodores, right?
Yeah. Is there some name? I'm a big Elton John fan,
yeah,
and I would love to see Elton at Ravinia.
Me too.
Is there some name that you have on your bucket list?
Yeah. So when I came to Ravinia in 2000, I thought I'll be not so ambitious and not so high expectations, and I had 10 people on the list. We've gotten every single one of those. Now that we have Paul Simon, he was the last of that original 10, and then there have been some others since. There were many who said they would never come. Carlos Santana said he would never come, not because of anything other than he didn't know whether his audience would come, because for better or for worse, and it's really neither here nor there, Ravinia had become, for about a couple decades, a classical house, right? Where the symphony played, great, wonderful, because in fact, that is where we are, and that is this 80th anniversary with the CSO, but we need to have both pieces of it, especially if we're going to grow audience for classical music. They need to know what their experience is going to be like. The lawn is a great place to bring your kids for a first classical concert. The sound is great. Kids under 26 years old are free. $10 lawn tickets for the greatest orchestra in the world. It's a pretty good bargain all the way around. So we're kind of evening that out a little bit without by any means dampening our respect and love of the CSO or classical music. But I have a new bucket list.
Ah, very good.
Yeah. I never thought Maroon 5 would come. I never thought Matchbox 20 would come. And in fact, Rob Thomas and Santana had sort of been in this little group, well, we'll never go. But Santana's been back now, so we're happy about that.
Would you book, say, a Kanye West? Would you book?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. The things that sort of work against us have less to do with the type of artist than decibel level. That's actually the biggest one of all. But John Fogerty, I just signed yesterday. He's never been with us. That's a decibel level situation that we're going to work out. Thrilled to have him. We just booked Gavin DeGraw, who's been a big hit for us with The Fray, who've never been with us before. That's in June. So we're working through those issues.
So what is that level? What is that decibel level that would a normal concert be as opposed to what you're allowed to do?
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Oh, really? It's no. One of those things?
It's 95.
Yeah. What is that you can use?
Yeah.
And what would be a normal concert?
Actually, that is pretty normal, but there are artists, especially in the hip-hop world and actually in the Latin world, where they want to go to 100, 105. What they really don't want is to be told they can't. And I understand that completely, which is why we're rebuilding and rejiggerating where our soundboard is right now. It used to be in the middle of the theater in the box level. Now it's going to be all in the way in the back with the lighting booth, which is where it should be. So we might have some different issues and be able to change some things around.
What's new?
But we want to be sensitive to the neighbors.
What's new on the grounds at Ravinio this year?
What you will see this year, and the biggest thing of all in the last maybe 10, even though we've done so much to improve the place, is that we have a brand new aquatic sculpture that as you come to the main parking lot and you go under the train underpass, will be right in front of you. Designed by Wet Design out of Burbank, who did the Bellagio fountains, did the Dubai fountains. This is in honor of a late life trustee given to us by his wife, Dolores Kaplan. We're so grateful to her. And little did we know as we started down the process of seeing how this would work, design, budget, found out that, in fact, when Ravinia opened, it had electric water fountains all over the park. So it's a nice historic thing,
nice
to
throw
back to 1904,
yeah.
And it's going to be beautiful.
Restaurants, eating, drinking?
So a little bit down the ways, you're going to see some improvements to the restaurant buildings. That's going to be in a couple of years. But in the meantime, we're constantly bringing in guest chefs. People are really enjoying that part of something different, especially because we have so many people that come three or four times a week, which is fantastic. But menu items we'll know a little bit more about in May.
I have to say,
any requests?
They have the greatest garlic parmesan fries in the food court that I've ever tasted. I've even been tempted. I didn't care who's playing. I was going to go just to eat and leave before the concert was on, whether it was somebody I liked or not, because those fries are so good.
That's great to hear. I'll pass that on to our folks at Levy Restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. You need those. Some people come for Dylan. Some people come for the French fries.
The garlic fries. And sometimes both.
People want to tickets are not on sale right now, but will be going on sale soon, though.
It's a great question. So we are a nonprofit. Supporting and sustaining classical music and doing the education things we do and keeping the park beautiful costs a lot of money, so we can't do that all at the box office. If you become a donor to us at a variety of levels, it gives you earlier access to ticket buying. The first donor day is 10 a.m. on Wednesday the 9th, so it's right around the corner. General online sales to the public, April 26th, all at Ravinia.org.
April 9th,
April
26th, right.
Yeah.
But April 9th for the first donor opportunity.
March 9th.
March 9th.
March 9th.
Yes,
okay. Months
so we have a donor period in order to do the seating and do all that stuff. And then April 26th for the general public.
Okay, Ravinia.org.
That's it.
Is where it all happens.
That's right.
Wells Kaufman is the president and CEO of Ravinia. This is going to be your new best friend for the summer.
I am. You're gonna be sick of seeing me there.
Who's that guy with the tent on the lawn
that the squirrels are talking to?
I unfolded your that elaborate schedule of yours, and I was just like, oh, there. I have to be there. It was just one after another.
That's really great to hear. I appreciate that.
Going to be known as that crazy guy who lives at Ravinia, lives on the lawn.
Talks to the squirrels.
Join the club, friend.
The Dr. Doolittle of Highland Park.
There you are.
Wells Kaufman, quick break. We update the news. More on the death of Nancy Reagan next on WGN.
Richards is live at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at the Presidential Towers in Chicago on 720 WGN.
And yeah, we're going to be here till about 12:45 today. Then we go to Northwestern pregame. Dave Bennett will take over at that time. But people still coming and going from the towers doing the American Lung Association Climb for Life. That has been going on. A lot of people have long since completed
Fight for Air.
The climb.
Close, though.
What was it?
Fight for Air.
Fight for Air?
Yeah.
What did I say?
It's the lung.
What
the
did
lungest.
I say?
Fight for life.
Well, if you don't have air, you won't have life.
Are you sure you won that Silver Star?
Silver Circle is what it is.
The walk is still the walk.
The climb.
The
Do you
climb.
Know where you're at?
I've checked out of the show.
How many years has the Black Ensemble been doing their visit?
They're taking our broadcast setup apart right now. I'm assuming we're not even on the air anymore.
No, we're all huddled around one microphone.
Right. This is like Thomas Edison. If you saw those old black and white pictures.
The guy from Ravinia left. Oh, I guess the show's over now.
Exactly.
Anybody of importance is gone. No more guests. Tim Daly's gone. It's just the three schlubs.
That's right. We can just start breaking this thing down so we can get out of here at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Anyway, the climb is still going on, and we continue here this morning until Northwestern pregame. Apparently another show is going on behind
me. Marlene's cracking them up over there.
I don't know about. Yeah. All right. Let's do something on the air now, if that's all right.
Could you play that bumper again?
On fire! I want to know, the big Downton Abbey finale that's tonight. I'm not a Shawnee. You're not into the Downton Abbey.
I can't believe.
No, I just never got into it, and for the same reason. There are other things to watch, and your other things
so
to
you
look
don't
at.
Like sophisticated,
funny. And there are other things to do.
I know a lot of people.
Sunday at 8 o'clock, what are you doing? Can I ask you? What are you doing?
I say, I'm watching Columbo reruns.
Okay, that's not bad. I'll give you that. I love that. But you can always DVR that.
You can DVR and TiVo.
I'm just saying to say that you're better that you're doing something
all
else.
Right, all right, you don't have to get all Donald Trump on it. Relax,
you're a loser.
Settle down.
Little Dean over here.
Swanee's not Marco Rubio just because he doesn't watch Downton Abbey. Relax.
I would love to go one on one with Little Dave right here.
But
he can't win New York. He can't win New Jersey.
But you have gotten into Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
I imagine, because I know you like to dress up, that you're extremely theatrical, that I'm guessing when Downton Abbey comes on, you put on like a full suit of armor.
Smoking jacket.
Yeah. Okay, do you really?
Ascot. Tonight, my wife and I will be having cucumber sandwiches and clotted cream.
All right. I believe that. I'm sure that's not an exaggeration.
I do fashion myself a bit of an Anglophile. I do love England.
All things England?
I do love England. Our first cat's name was Thames, named after the river. Our current cat's name is Grimsby, which is a town in England.
That's why I've named my cat Displanes.
Wheeling, Mount Prospect.
Right. Same thing.
Would you name another cat Winston?
Hoffman Estates? No, in fact, I did think of Winston.
Winston actually, is a name, yeah.
But Downton Abbey, to your point, remember Upstairs Downstairs on PBS?
Yes.
Now, I was a little too young to understand the subtleties of that, so I never really watched that. But I have to say that this show is very well written. It is not stuffy. It certainly takes place in this kind of 1920s, early 1900s of the whole aristocracy in England. But there is some humor. I mean, it's not Shemp and Curly, but there is some good
drama.
But
nobody's perfect.
No. there's a lot of good drama. And I think what I'm looking forward to tonight is I fear, and I said this to my wife, to me, on a final episode, somebody has to die. I think that it's cheating if nobody dies.
Okay.
And I have a feeling that no one's going to die, so I'm a little disappointed.
Is anybody sick in the cast right now?
No, that's the problem. There's happen? Nobody's got like TB or any of those, or a bad, back in the 1900s, or a bad earache.
Or bad cold.
Yeah, that could kill them, a toothache. No, no one's got any kind of diseases.
All right.
There are a lot of floating stories that I would be interested to see how they tie them up.
But so is it possible? I mean, I've never seen it. Shawnee's never seen it. I imagine a lot of people have not seen it.
You're the dowager.
It is. I still don't know what that means.
Well, the four people that watch it,
I don't care enough to ask what it means even. But
your four listeners who watch it, they got the reference.
All right. Well, no, I mean, it's one of PBS's most popular series, I'm definitely in the minority. But, I mean, is it possible for me to watch tonight and understand what's going on?
Well, coming in at the last episode might be a little tough, but I think you might be able to at least get some of the flavor of the characters to then say, that looks interesting enough. I would like to see how that person or how this group of characters got to this point, and maybe that would influence in you to go back and watch
to go
the
back
beginning.
And watch. All right.
Because, like I said, it's written in a very, it's as good as any drama that you will have seen.
just straight-wise, right. regardless of the time period. I mean, what I think is good about it is that you could take the time period out, you could make it into a current day. The stories and the characters are what carry it. The atmosphere certainly adds a certain mystique to it, but it really is just a drama, a good character-driven, story-driven drama. So if you like that, you'll like it. You may have been turned off because it's on PBS, it's on Masterpiece Theater.
I'm mostly turned off that you are watching it.
Now, what about Game of Thrones? Did you watch that?
I did not. I have not seen a single Game of Thrones.
I've seen Game of Thrones.
I don't watch.
You really don't watch television?
I watch the news.
So not even like so a Dean Richards won't binge on a weekend. You won't say like let me get the House of Cards DVDs and binge for 2 days.
Nope. Wow. I binge during the week.
Yeah, I understand.
I see 7 to 10 movies a week.
Wow.
So I'm pretty drama'd out by the time the weekend comes.
Well, I have,
and I really just I'm not interested in watching any of these dramas. I know I'm in the vast minority with that.
What I think of what was cool about Downton Abbey was it was the same kind of thing that was interesting about Dynasty in the 80s, was that it took this snapshot of a certain time and obviously a certain family and put the spotlight on it and gave you some really good and the acting is amazing too. I mean, it really is a well put together, and because I to be honest with you, I didn't watch it the first season. I felt the same way you did. And then I said, well, let me just try this out. And I saw one episode, and I was completely
hooked.
And then I had to binge back.
I've interviewed many of the performers who are from Downton Abbey who have been in movies, and I think they're great performers. I have no doubt that it's great. I just...
Well, just so you know, once again, you and Shawnee will not understand this, but just so you know, everybody wants to know tonight what's going to happen to Edith.
Oh, well, that I know.
So that...
To Edith.
Right. Edith's storyline probably right.
And will,
is the
will
one
Archie
that,
be
I
able to...
I was going to say, is there an Archie or a Meathead on this as well?
When Lord Meathead shows up.
So it's not entirely original.
And Madame Gloria.
Yeah. Apparently. They go to Kelsey's pub.
instead of the bar. Yeah.
I have a definition of dowager.
Oh, very good, Shawnee.
A woman who has inherited property from her dead husband.
Or,
the second definition, an old woman
who
is very formal or serious.
See, that's why I thought you were old and serious. I mean, no, I mean,
and
just
a woman.
Serious. I didn't know dowager was just a female.
Of course you didn't.
See, I've had people all morning laughing at you and you had no idea.
I had no idea. I still don't care.
So you never watched West Wing?
I watch an occasional.
I never missed an episode.
Okay, so there.
I watched
that's a great show.
An occasional West Wing. The last show that I was like hooked into was 24.
Ah, okay.
Like won't miss it. And really, I've sort of I did watch just about every Better Call Saul.
Oh, great show!
Because
very good show.
I like
and Breaking
I like
Bad.
Bob Odenkirk.
Did you watch Breaking Bad?
I watched a few Breaking Bads. I didn't watch a lot.
I came
of
late to that
Bad.
Party, but then I wound up. I do have to say one thing since I have this love for old television. So I'm watching I love to watch all this political stuff going on. I'm a political junkie. So there's Trump with Melania, his wife, up there one day at one of those, and immediately I start going da 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 da. Tell me that Trump and Melania are not Oliver and Lisa Douglas from Green Acres. I mean, first of all, she talks just like her. Hello, Donald. I mean,
that sound a little Gabor.
Think about it. If he wins, she's going to have to move from New York to a smaller house, and she's going to keep going, I want to go back to New York, Donald. You know, and Cruz looks like Mr. Haney. So he's going to be coming over to the White House every day going, hello, Mr. Trump.
How long have you been working out this whole Green Acres? This is the single reason that Jim wanted to be on the show today.
Well,
so
no,
he
I,
could play out his Green Acres Donald Trump
no,
theory.
No, but here's the thing. It's so ironic today.
I'll tell you what. When Donald Trump comes to the UIC Pavilion, stand on the corner of Racine and Harrison and see how that goes
da,
over.
Da, 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 da. With my pitchfork.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you'll get the pitchfork, all right.
Do you think then he would rename Camp David Hooterville?
Hootersville. But think about it. You're talking about Nancy. I mean, this woman is going to be our, I mean, potentially, she could be the first lady. You're talking about Nancy Reagan today with her death. I mean, think about this. You know, she doesn't even speak American. Oh, Oliver.
I knew we should have cut off his mic around 10:30.
I heard that before. It's for 5 years.
A quick break. Speaking of Nancy Reagan, we seriously remember her passing with Professor Paul Green from Roosevelt University after a quick break. And we have security take Jim out of the building. 12:20 on WGN.
A stairway to heaven.
Dean Richards is live at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at the Presidential Towers in Chicago on 720 WGN.
You can join me for a Dean's Night Out at the Paramount Theater in Aurora Sunday, March 20th. You could be one of the 10 lucky winners to get a pair of tickets to see West Side Story. And join me at the special performance, the 5:30 performance, Sunday the 20th, an opportunity to join me at the private reception, a little meet and greet. We have some hors d'oeuvres. We have cocktails. And then we
cheese puffs.
Go and enjoy that. We have enjoyed a cheese puff or two.
How could you not enjoy a cheese puff?
We have a nice spread of delightful snacks. You can get in on this at wgnradio.com/contest. For your chance to enter.
And you're going to see West Side Story.
We're going to see West Side
Story.
That's
one of the greats.
They do the most amazing shows at the Paramount Theater, so I have no doubt that, I'm going to hold off my opinion until I see it, of course. They've done some pretty amazing shows through the years. So the news this morning, the death of Nancy Reagan, congestive heart failure. She's 94 years old, died at her home in Bel Air, California. Joining us on the phone line right now, Professor Paul Green, Roosevelt University. Paul, I'm wondering what your recollections and what you think the legacy of Nancy Reagan will be.
Well, good morning, Dean. First of all, let me say that my views may be somewhat clouded since I just came back from the polar plunging with Lady Gaga, so I demand a little more respect than I normally get from Dean Richards. And if you want to know where one of her tattoos are, I am there to tell you. But enough of that. Don't ask. It's madness.
I didn't
Nancy
ask
Reagan
his letter,
was,
but
no, he just keeps going.
You guys are hanging out at a radio station. I'm plunging into the water with Lady Gaga. Who has a better life?
You are a courageous man.
And my third time and my final time. Anyways, Nancy Reagan was one tough customer. Everyone's talking about her just say no to drugs thing and a lot of the other things offending her husband, but she was involved in a lot of political intrigue in the White House, especially during the beginning of the second term of President Reagan. She was not a fan of Don Regan. Remember, you may not remember it, but Jim Baker, who's probably one of the greatest chief of staff ever, they switched jobs from the Treasury to Baker went to the Secretary of the Treasury, and Regan came to become chief of staff. And Nancy Reagan was not a fan of his at all. And there was a lot of intrigue inside there. And she, not only did she have that, but she had put a lot of faith and a lot of trust in, these people who predicted the future, the signs and all that kind of stuff.
Astrologers, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she was into that. And Don Regan, I met him at the 84 convention. He was, let's say, he was not the guy with the best sense of humor. And we'll leave it at that. So, she was more of a player than people are saying inside the White House. Especially during the second term when Jim Baker was not there to hold her hand, but she really liked him and listened to him. She was not out of control, but she was much more adventuresome in the second term.
Is it fair to say that that Ronnie would not make a move without first consulting her?
There's rumor, all the books I've read, that in the second term, remember, he was beginning to suffer either Alzheimer's or whatever, and he was not the same man in the second term that he was in the first term, and part of that has to do with the fact that he had Jim Baker there to guide him. But again, yeah, she played much more of a role, and on the personal side, I mean, they obviously had a great love affair. I mean, she was very defensive. He always looked better and sounded better when she was near him. Some of the stuff I've read is that he would always look around to see if she was there and that kind of stuff, but. Yeah, well, she lived a great life, 94 years old, the famous actress, of course, you know all about that. After Jane Wyman, he divorced, right? I'm going back in movie history.
Yes.
just showing you my spurs here, Mr. Dean.
You're multifaceted, a wet multifaceted Paul Green this morning.
A very wet and cold multifaceted. Yeah, so she was probably one of the strongest first. If you go back in time, you know, obviously Hillary Clinton stands out, but she was right up there in influence, though never in official capacity. Unlike Hillary Clinton, who had that thing trying to put together the health care thing, always behind the scenes, but everyone knew that she was the protector of Ronald Reagan, and there's just no doubt about it that she, I only met her once, and she was a very tiny lady, but she was one fierce person when it came to defending her husband.
Paul, I have to take a quick break. Can I ask you to hang in for a minute? Because I want to talk about Nancy Reagan following the assassination attempt. I want to talk about Nancy Reagan bucking George W. Bush coming out publicly, one of the few times that she literally came out publicly for anything, physically and even with a statement for stem cell treatment when President Bush was against it. I just want to cover a couple of other things, but I need to do it after a quick break. Paul Green from Roosevelt University on the line. He did the polar plunge this morning with Lady Gaga. I don't know if you all know that or not.
Did he?
We'll get to that.
He hasn't mentioned it.
He was hanging out with Lady Gaga this morning. We'll have more on next on WGN.
Dean Richards is live at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at the Presidential Towers in Chicago on 720 WGN.
2,340 steps, 180 floors on this American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb.
You sound like you're in rent.
Presented by
2,340
steps. Presented by United Healthcare here at Presidential Towers, where we've been broadcasting this morning. And I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of people participating in this since very, very early this morning, helping to raise money for the awareness for the American Lung Association. Among them, Aaron Loughran, who finished doing the climb. Aaron is a double lung transplant survivor. It's a pleasure to see you, Aaron. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Not a problem.
So tell us what it was like doing the big climb there, first of all.
It was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be, I think, because I kept a good pace. I think I could have done the 180 without a problem, but I didn't sign up for that, so maybe next year I'll double it.
Go for it all. So I mean, this obviously lung health is something that has personally affected you. Tell us a little about your story.
So I was born with cystic fibrosis, which affects the lungs as well as other organ systems. And at the age of 21, I had to have a double lung transplant because my lungs just had it. They were failing me and no longer could work enough to keep me moving. So after the lung transplant when I was 21, a lot of people, when they get a transplant, they say it's their second chance. But because of the CF affected me since birth, it's really my first chance to have life in a normal fashion.
Yeah.
And so I just started living my life, went back to college, got my master's degree, working full-time and enjoying life, playing tennis and staying active and healthy.
Yeah, so how did your life change from pre-transplant to post? You were able to do things, it sounds like, that you were never able to do prior to it.
Exactly. So one of the analogies I use is making my bed would have taken me 20 minutes. Walking to the kitchen, which is 25 feet, would have taken me 5 minutes. And I would have been out of breath and exhausted for an hour or so. Walking to the end of the driveway would have exhausted me for hours. Now I can do events like these, a stair climb, or play tennis for 3 hours straight without even thinking about it.
That's amazing. It's absolutely. So what's your message to people who are listening and probably take their lungs completely for granted?
Yeah, a lot of people, I would say, do take them for granted, and not just out of ignorance, just because breathing is just easy for them. It's just something that happens.
Right.
They don't have to think about it.
Right.
So really think about, take a minute, just think of, take a breath in and a breath out, how easy that is. For some people, it's not that easy. And because someone donated their organs and unfortunately had to sacrifice their life, there was a positive outcome as to I got to live mine. So be an organ donor, save a life, and affect hundreds of lives along the way. And the ALA is part of that, but they're also about raising awareness of lung health and clean air and gaining better treatments to treat people with lung disease, whether it be asthma or COPD or cystic fibrosis or any of the other numerous lung diseases that are out there.
Well, you are an inspiration, my friend. I appreciate you stopping by to share your story, and I hope everybody is similarly as inspired as I am. And check out the American Lung Association's website to get more information on that. Thank you so much for coming by. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the time.
Nice to meet you. Aaron Loughran joining us this morning. At 1240 WGN, we return to Professor Paul Green, Roosevelt University, who is joining us in remembering Nancy Reagan, our top story, the breaking news story of the morning, the death of Nancy Reagan. And Paul, thank you for hanging out. You know, we remember Nancy Reagan for her devotion to Ronald Reagan. We remember Nancy Reagan for Just Say No to Drugs. Will we also remember Nancy Reagan for taking this defiant stand against George W. Bush in the stem cell issue?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, you know, you live 94 years, you have a life like she has. You know, that's... put it like this, she will be most remembered as a loyal, dutiful wife who had a strong sense of protecting of her husband. That's, I think, all the newspapers, all the blogs, all that stuff, if they're going to highlight her life. And, you know, she lived 94 years, you know, there's all kinds of stories about her being, you know, Queen Nancy and all that kind of stuff. And you didn't ever cross her. If you crossed her, you were a goner. Don Regan would vouch for that. So,
You don't think bucking the president of the United States, bucking a Republican president of the United States, when you know she especially knew, you don't buck the president, but she I thought pretty courageously did for something about which she felt very strongly.
She didn't mind bucking the president as long as the president wasn't Ronald Reagan. I mean, no, she would stop that. You know, she was, how old was she by then? I just think those kinds of stories, you know, if someone wants to make a big deal out of that, fine. But, you know, I just don't see it. I think that the stuff that I've been reading about her since I've been holding, all of it has to do with her role in the White House. I think that is the... And the fact that she lived in Chicago when she was growing up. You know, she was a Chicagoan.
Yes, right. Yeah, she had a long Chicago history. Mm-hmm. What about the, you know, sort of the elegance that she brought back to the White House? Do you think that's part of the Nancy Reagan story?
Well, part of it, that she privately raised all this money and brought back... well, she followed Jimmy Carter. Okay, I mean, that's a cheap shot, even for Paul Green. The fact that she brought back the kind of regalness to the White House. You know, limos were in vogue. Fine China was back in vogue. Black tie dinners and all that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah. I mean, she was a after 4 years of the Georgia a peanut farmer. Suddenly, you got glamour in the White House. And I thought, when I'm talking to you, everything has to deal with movies. I think one of her greatest things when the president, remember when Lady Di came to America and that famous scene at the White House dancing with John Travolta? I mean,
of
those
Lady,
are the kind
Lady,
of...
Yeah, of Lady I mean, Di yeah. dancing with John Travolta. Yeah,
yeah no, not Nancy. No, 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 no. Lady Di and with Prince Chuck looking on. I just thought, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, she brought back all dressed up to the nines. I mean, that's who she was. And Ronald Reagan, you know, the small town boy from Central Illinois, absolutely adored her, and I think that's the love affair. 52 years marriage. I think that's her legacy, and the fact that she made it to 94. By the way, as I'm talking here, I keep hearing you talk about where you're at. How many steps did you climb this morning, Mr. Richards?
Oh, you know, they're probably
that many.
couple out of my house. I had one step into my car. That was.
There's a curb here.
There's a curb that counts. That was one. Yeah. Well, next year you can do the program here, and I'll do the climb. I'll tell you what. Our last guest, Aaron, double lung transplant and doing the climb. If that's not inspiring to even a lazy slouch like me. You know, that if that doesn't make me want to do it next year, I don't know.
Or just complain about being tired.
Yeah, exactly. that's a good reality check.
Complaining that I'm cold, you know, big deal.
That is a good reality check for us all. Paul, we have to make way for Northwestern basketball. I always appreciate you joining us. I'm sure we're going to hear much more on the life and legacy of Nancy Reagan throughout the next couple of days here on WGN. Go dry. You and Lady Gaga, go dry off after your polar plunge. I'm glad you could join us for a minute.
Real quick, her boyfriend was there, and let's say a lot of the women were going gaga over him. So I don't think an old professor was any competition.
A shirtless Taylor Kinney versus a shirtless Paul Green. Thanks for that visual image.
Oh, what a terrible way to start our Sunday.
Carrying Lady Gaga on his back. Yeah, I'm right there.
I saw. Thanks, Paul Green, Roosevelt University. Thank you. Elton Jim Toronto, always nice to have you
with
us.
Thank you so much, Dean. I always enjoy sharing a mic with you.
Always appreciate
we're literally
you.
Sharing one now since they tore the whole studio down.
Dave Schwann, thank you, my friend.
I'll see you next Sunday,
see
Dean.
You
thank
next
you.
Sunday morning, Jake. Marlene Wells is the greatest ever at organizing all of these.
On crutches today, too.
On
unbelievable.
On top of it. We appreciate you, Marlene, and Mike, and everybody back at the station. Thank you very much. Northwestern basketball is next on 720 WGN Chicago.